بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم. أما بعد، First of all, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman. We praise Allah Jalla Majdahu for blessing us with Islam. And we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our deen is simple, our deen is complete, our deen is perfect. Alhamdulillah, we are going to explain a ruling that we have stated over the air with certain clarifications. So we earnestly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to do so without character assassination, without abusive language, without mudslinging. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we present the clarification without emotionalism or sentiments attached. The ruling that we stated when someone posed the question about the zikr, we stated that congregational loud zikr in the masjid, if it is deemed sunnah, then it is an innovation. That was our ruling. Certain quarters have taken exception to this ruling. Now, unfortunately, they have not understood what we are trying to state. Remember that there are four portions to this. One is zikr. Secondly, loud. Thirdly, in congregation. Fourthly, in the masjid. And people regard it as sunnah. First of all, we must understand that unfortunately, people have a tendency of mudslinging and malicious false propaganda. What the people go around saying, that, do you know Mufti Elias? They say, yes. You know he's against zikr. Then they would go around and say, that, do you know Mufti Elias? Say, yes, we know him. No, he's against Sheikh Maulana Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh. Then they will go around and say, that, do you know Mufti Elias? You say, yes, he's against our Akadir. Now, respected elders, that first of all, answer to objection and propaganda one, that if any Muslim is against zikr and denies zikr, is not a Muslim. He cannot be classified a Muslim. How can Mufti Elias be against zikr? If Mufti Elias is against zikr, then he will go out of the fold of Islam like how the arrow leaves the bow. Then, how can ayats be brought to prove that those who prevent people from making the zikr of Allah in the houses of Allah are oppressors and target it to Mufti Elias? This is gross. Malicious propaganda. Secondly, that concerning Hazrat Maulana Shahul Hadis Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali, that in Ramadan, when someone misquoted Shahul Hadis Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, I was the person who said over ages on tape that, brother, you are misquoting Shahul Hadis. If you give me your name and address, I will sue you. I would like to know in the whole of South Africa who showed more respect to Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh, was prepared to sue the person who misquoted Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh. And people are saying, I do not love or respect Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayh. Thirdly, that our Akabir, with the help of Allah, our website, alislam.co.za, has got 200 of our books 100 more are going to be loaded, all of our Akabir. So if I did not love, respect, honor our Akabir, how we did all that work with the able team around me and presented to the English-speaking, reading world our work on Akabir. I would like to know in the whole country who has done, which team has done so much of work propagating the work of our Akabir. And I have been told by certain people you are against the Akabir. Now to our Masala. That zikr, obviously, all the ahadiths and all the Quranic ayats presented to extol the virtues of zikr, no Muslim can deny it or reject it. Zikr of Allah is an excellent and great form of ibadah. Supplication, dua, is another mode of worship and a means of gaining closeness to Allah Jalla Majdahu. However, these acts of ibadah, like others, should be performed in the method as prescribed to us by the Sharia. Remember, the actions have to conform to Sharia. Allah says in Surah Araf, and remember your Rabb, making zikr in your heart with humility and fear, without raising your voices. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Araf, call to your Rabb with humility and silently. Surely He does not like the transgressors. These ayats of Quran have two conditions. Number one, we should do it with utmost sincerity and humility. Number two, to recite it softly and in a low voice. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba were making zikr in a loud voice, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prevented them by saying, O people, have mercy upon yourselves. You are not calling upon that being who is deaf or absent. You are calling upon that being who is all hearing and close by. And He is with you all the time. Bukhari, page 605, volume 2. Muslim, page 346, volume 2. Now, this hadith proves clearly that we should be making zikr softly and not loudly. Now, there is a hadith in the era of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people used to raise their voices in zikr after Farz Salat. Muslim volume 1, page 217. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi explained in reply to this narration of Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that zikr in a loud voice was practiced during the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a limited period of time, only in order to educate Sahaba ikram. This practice of loud zikr was not a regular or continuous practice. Sharh of Muslim, volume 1, page 217. Now, respected listeners, that the Imams of Fiqh, we come to the conclusion when we look at their proofs. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh states that soft zikr is better than loud zikr. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayh says soft zikr is better than loud zikr. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh says soft zikr is better than loud zikr. Imam Hanbal rahmatullahi alayh says soft zikr is better than loud zikr. Now, when there is a consensus of opinion of all four Imams upon one law, then we feel that certainly the truth is with them, that their view is correct. Respected elders, that Allama Halbi Hanafi has written, Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi said that to make zikr loudly is bidah, and it is contrary to the ayat of Allah Ta'ala wherein it is stated a call to your Rabb with humility and in a soft tone. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, we always quote Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali. So we quote them when it suits us. When it goes against us, we do not want to quote them. He says, some of our ulama have very explicitly stated that to raise the voice in the masjid, even if it be for zikr, is haram. Is haram. Imam Nawawi Rahmatullah Ali has written, there is no difference of opinion regarding the fact that dua must be made softly. Sharh Muslim, Volume 1, page 311. Mullah Ali Qari states, it is mustahab to recite dua in a soft voice, and it is bid'ah to make it in a loud voice. Respected elders, now people say that it is written that Maulana Abul Hay Laknawi Rahmatullah Ali, he wrote a whole book on loud zikr. We say that definitely we agree with that. But do you read what he said in Majmul Fatawa, Volume 2, page 302, Laknawi print? He says, the one who compiled the book on loud zikr, he says, Imam Baihaqi Rahmatullah Ali reports in Kitab Shobatul Iman from Hazrat Saad bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best zikr is that one which is recited softly and quietly, and the best sustenance is that one which is sufficient. It is reported in the commentary of Hidayah al-Nihaya that it is mustahab according to us Hanafis that zikr be soft and quiet. Except, of course, at those times when the Sharia desires it loud, like Azan, Talbiyah of Hajj. Many Ahanaf, amongst them the author of Hidayah, emphasize the point that to make zikr in a loud voice is bidah. Zikr is actually meant to be soft. In conclusion, although zikr in a loud voice is permissible, it is forbidden for it to be in excessive loudness. Soft zikr is even better than a low pitch of loud zikr. Why should it not be better, since loud zikr has many pitfalls? One of them is that it disturbs the sleeping persons. It also causes a disturbance in concentration of those performing salah and makes them forget what they are reading. And thirdly, it opposed to sincerity and concentration. Besides these, there are many other pitfalls. If you wish to know more about this subject, then refer to Maulana Sarfaraz's kitab. He discusses this in detail. Respected elders, listeners, that what we gain from this and what we learn, that Allah Ta'ala wants it to be soft. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants it to be soft. Quote you one, two more passages more before I make certain other observations. Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, who was classified as the jugular vein of jurisprudence of Darul Uloom Deoband, he stated that, and this is quoted in a book named Zikr, published by Khanka Zakaria, if you are to make loud zikr, then go and make it in the orchard. So he is saying, and this loud zikr is individual, not congregational. I'm talking up to now about individual loud, not congregational loud. All these rulings that we are stating are individual loud. So Maulana Gangohi is saying they go to the orchard, and he is the jugular vein of jurisprudence of Darul Uloom Deoband. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Now in the Thanvi circles, if you don't say Hazrat and you don't say Rahmatullah Ali about Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, they will look at you very badly. But those who are adhering to the thought of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, do they know what he wrote in his masterpiece, Bayan al-Quran? He wrote in his Bayan al-Quran that if you want to make loud zikr, that means individual, not collective, go away from the urban area. And remember, this is not for taqarrub ilallah. This is not to gain proximity to Allah. One of Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi states that loud zikr is to activate and motivate the heart. Once that is done, then stop. Now all this is loud, individual. Mawlana Thalvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, I've heard from my asatiza that he was the one who cleared tasawwuf from its un-Islamicness. Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Alayhi, the excellent, high excellent scholar of ahadith, he says to raise the voice in zikr in the masjid is haram. He states this by quoting Mullah Ali Qari, Arfu Shazi, page 120. Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Yusuf Binori Rahmatullah Ali also clearly mentions the prohibition of raising the voices in zikr in masjid, Marifu Sunnah, volume 2, page 304. Respected elders, if you look at the Fatawa Kitab of Mufti Mahmood Rahmatullah Alayhi, Fatawa Mahmoodiya, clearly you will get the rulings time and time again that soft zikr is better and preferred over loud zikr. Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayhi states, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi's mazhab school of thought was that it is makruh to raise the voice in the masjid, even if it be for zikr. Yes, it has been given permission for conducting dini lessons in the masjid if it does not disturb the musallis, or if no salat is taking place in that masjid at that time. Mirqat, page 223, volume 2, Imdadia, Multani print. Respected elders, Allah Ta'ala wants us to make soft zikr. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants us to make soft. Then we get a clear statement of Hazrat Sa'd bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is saying soft zikr is more rewarding. Imam Abu Hanifa is saying soft zikr. Imam Shafi is saying soft zikr. Imam Malik is saying soft zikr. Imam Hanbal is saying soft zikr. Mullah Ali Qari is quoting and saying soft zikr. Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi saying soft zikr. Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi saying soft zikr. Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Alayhi saying soft zikr. Mawlana Yusuf Binori Rahmatullah Alayhi saying soft zikr. Mufti Mahmood Rahmatullah Alayhi saying soft zikr. What do you expect Mufti Elias to say? That is why we said that it is better that zikr be made softly. And all of them are saying about loud zikr, that individual, respected elders. So, remember clearly that soft zikr is given preference over loud zikr. And so many things we have presented for you. Mufti Rashid Ahmad Ludhiani Rahmatullah Ali, to those of you who know him, he is the Sahib of Ahsanul Fatawa. And those of you who know about him, that he was the unofficial Mufti of Pakistan. He states in his book, Customary Gatherings of Zikr Groups, he says about a hadith, the hadith translates, he who remembers me, Allah Ta'ala, to himself in his heart, I remember him to myself. And as for him who remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a greater gathering than others. So this great Mufti says, the object of such ahadith are not as propounded by those who support the halkas of zikr. In other words, they are not proved to validate the halkas of zikr. Then he goes on to say something in his work. He says that we have a verbal tafsir of Hazrat Atta Rahmatullah Ali. And who was Hazrat Atta Rahmatullah Ali? He was a high-ranking Tabi'i. He had the honor of meeting 200 Sahaba. He held a high-ranking narration of Hadith. He made the tafsir of the gathering of Zikr in the following manner. There were gatherings of showing halal and haram. There were demonstrations of how you should perform salah, how you should fast, how you should make nikah and give talaq, and how you should buy and sell. Quoting from Al-Bidaya wa Nihaya, Volume 9, page 306. So, respected elders, that Hadrat Atta Rahmatullah Alayhi was explaining the words in the hadith which come, Yaskurun Allah fi Masajid, remembering Allah in the Masajid. Now, for example, there is a hadith, the final hour will not come until there is one on earth to say Allah, Allah. This proof is not correct for those who say that you should make congregational zikr. Firstly, the first Allah is Mubtada, that is subject to the sentence. And second Allah is Khabar, predicate to the sentence, meaning deity. So the meaning of the hadith will be that Qiyamah will not come until there is someone who professes to Allah being the one worthy of worship. Respected elders, that he goes on at length to explain a rule in Sharia. When a non-Sunnat act becomes an accepted Sunnat act, then it is wajib to leave out this act and refrain from it. Individual zikr and halkas of zikr, he makes differences and says, individual zikr was carried out as a method of, in a specific manner. And nowadays, that everybody wants to do this in congregation. General masses are not generally aware of individual zikr practices. Hence, there is no fear of it being misunderstood. Contrary to loud zikr sessions made in groups where invitations are extended. And these invitations, we call this in Sharia, ta'addi, calling, inviting. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, did not invite others to come to the masjid, congregate on a specific time and make zikr loudly in congregation, in unison. Respected elders, then he goes on to mention, if I have time, I will mention it, the halkas of zikr of the previous mashaykh. Respected elders, that Hazrat Sa'd bin Yazid says that once he was sitting in Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when someone threw a few pebbles in his direction. When he looked up, he saw it was Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala who told him to summon certain two persons to appear before him. When the two were brought in his presence, they were asked to which tribe and family they belong. The narrator doubts and says that they were probably asked from where they came. They said they were the inhabitants of Taif. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, told them that if you were from Medina, then he could have punished them because you raised your voices in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bukhari, volume 1, page 67. Hazrat Numan bin Bashir states that he was once sitting close to the member of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when a person commented, I do not worry if I do not do any other work after my acceptance of Islam other than giving water to the Hajis. Another said, I do not worry if I do not work other than contributing to the construction and service of Masjid al-Haram. A third person said, Jihad in the path of Allah far supersedes that which you have mentioned. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was nearby, said, do not raise your voices at the member of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muslim, volume 2, page 134. Hazrat Imam Nawawi, commenting, states in Muslim, volume 2, page 134, This narration proves that it is makruh to raise the voices in the masjid on the day of Juma and other days. This is also proven that when people have gathered for salah, then at such time it is repensable to raise the voice, even for ilm, speeches, because this will disturb those who are performing salah and zikr, and Allah Ta'ala knows best. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrate a hadith wherein Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned 15 signs of Qiyamah, and he said that these signs will surely transpire. One of these signs, voices will be raised in masjid. Mishkat, page 470, volume 2. Tirmizi, volume 2, page 44. Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali commenting on this hadith says, in Mirkat, volume 1, page 171, Multan print, some of our ulama have clearly stated that to raise the voice in the masjid is haram, even if it be for zikr. Alama Alauddin Muhammad bin Ali Hanafi states about the etiquettes of masjid in Dhul Mukhtar with the Shara of Radul Mukhtar, volume 1, page 617. To ask for something in the masjid is haram. To give something is makruh. Similarly, to look for a lost item in the masjid is makruh. To recite poems in the masjid is makruh, also makruh. Also, unless they are for advice. Similarly, to recite loud zikr in the masjid is haram, except for those who are seeking ilm or fiqh, for students of deen, if they are learning in masjid. Alama Halabi Hanafi states, it is wajib to save the masjid from foul odor and the raising of voices and arguments. Alama Halabi Hanafi, his full name, Habib Halabi Hanafi, he was the Khalifa of Hazrat Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh, and he was the first person to start a khanka in Islamic history. Khanka outside the masjid. Hazrat Maaz ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala says, keep your children and your insane persons away from the masjid. Also, keep your buying, selling quarrels and raising voices away from the masjid. Al-Kabiri, pages 5667. Musannif Abdul Razak, page 442, volume 1. Respected elders, Alama Alusi Hanafi, he says about loud zikr. One is to raise the voice in dua and the other to raise the voice in the masjid. That should be classified as bidat. Ruhul Mani, volume 8, page 139. Ibn Taymiyyah Rahmatullah Alayhi says it is forbidden to raise the voice in the masjid. It is especially worse to do so in Masjid al-Nabawi. Imam Ibrahim ibn Musa, Shahab ibn Maliki, Rahmatullah Alayhi says, however, to raise the voice of the masjid, which is done to highlight altercations in deen, is a bidah. Respected elders, it is stated clearly in Fatawa Bazazia, page 375, volume 3. It is stated in Fatawa Qazi Khan that to raise the voice in zikr in the masjid is haram. And the proof that he brings now. The following incident is authentically reported from Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood, that he heard some people who were gathered in the masjid reciting La ilaha illallah and Durood Sharif loudly. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu ta'ala who went to them and said, we did not witness such an act during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I regard you as bidatis. He repeated this time and time again until he ejected them from the masjid. And this is quoted in a book by Maulana Yusuf Ludhianvi called Sirat al-Mustaqim. And it is being taught in Darulum Azadville in the first year. Shall we expunge all this? Respected elders, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he told about Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood, that thing which Ibn Masood prefers for you, I too prefer the same for you, and I am pleased with it. Mustadrak, volume 3, page 319. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood, who ejected those people who were making loud zikr in the masjid in congregation. He said, that thing which Ibn Masood prepares for my ummah, I am pleased with it. Mustadrak, volume 3, page 317. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says about Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood, that thing which Abdullah bin Masood does not approve of, I too disapprove of that for you. Al-Ihtisab, page 359, volume 1. It is clear that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his trust and confidence in Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood. And those who know about fiqh will know clearly that the Hanafi fiqh goes up to Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, respected elders, the quotation which is going to come now, listen to it carefully, because it is dealing with in congregation, in masjid. Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari Hanafi Rahmatullah Alayhi stated in the commentary of the hadith that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum never recited zikr and durood sharif in loud voices. They also never gathered for this purpose in the masjid or in their homes. Mirkat, volume 1, page 214. Now, Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayhi is very clearly stating that Sahaba did not gather for zikr or durood sharif in loud voices, in the masjid, in their homes. Who am I to follow? Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi, I'm a Muqallid, I'm a Hanafi. He is saying that one narration of one opinion of him, loud zikr is bidah. Another one, loud zikr is makruh. And makruh, according to Imam Yusuf, Rahmatullah Alayhi explained in Hidayah, is makruh tahrimi. And according to one statement of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi, as per Fatwa Qazi Khan, that to raise the voice in zikr is, in the masjid is haram. Now what must I follow? I am a mukallid. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood said, if you wish to follow in the footsteps of someone, that you should follow in the footsteps of those pious persons who have already passed away. Because there is no guarantee that a living person will not fall into fitna. Those persons who you should follow are the companions of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They are the best of this ummah. Their hearts were pure and they were deep in knowledge. They were extremely forthright. Allah Ta'ala has specially chosen them for the companionship of His Nabi. They were appointed for the establishment of the deen, of this deen. You should recognize their virtue and follow in their footsteps. Hold on firmly upon whatever you have the ability to follow from their character and habits, because surely they were rightly guided. Narrated by Razin, Mishkat, volume 1, page 32. On this statement of Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Mullah Ali Qari said, which I have quoted and I reiterate, Sahaba never recited durood, zikr and durood in loud voices. They never gathered for this purpose in the masjid or in their homes. Respected elders, that we are proving clearly that zikr is permissible, laudable, rewardable. More you do it, the better it is for you. Loud zikr, we have proved clearly, soft zikr is far more better than that. And in congregation, in the masjid, 5 years ago, I have stated in Masjid Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala in the haram that please bring me only one hadith to prove zikr loudly in congregation, in the masjid. Now it has reached this level that the women folk are even being dragged out of their homes, Ba'dal, Maghrib and Isha, to go to attend these sessions. And it has also been reported now that some Molanas drink water, spit in the water, and give it to the ladies who scramble for it, and they fall apart for this. There are some scholars who are saying that like the Malikis, they are of the opinion that you cannot even use the masjid to give speeches also. They say the masjid must be only utilized for the salat purposes. Respected elders, then there is another book by Mufti Abdul Wahid, the Shari status of these days gatherings of zikr. And in it he proves from the Sharia, and he divides the books in various, the virtues of zikr, and during the best of times, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Sahaba did not publicize the gatherings of zikr. And according to his research, gatherings of audible zikr is innovation, gatherings of inaudible zikr is also a bidah. Remember, respected elders, at one stage in the history of Islam, the masjid was used for many purposes: administration, political activity, settling of legal disputes, hospital, clinic, parliament, everything it was utilized. But as Islam spread and grew from strength to strength, then what happened? That everything, every other activity went outside the masjid. Only what was left was salah, and also what was left was teaching. And up to today, we find in Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that salat and teaching takes place. Respected elders, now certain times hadiths are presented and people get confused that this hadith perhaps is the one they are using to prove loud zikr in the masjid. Narrated by Abdul Rahman bin Sahel bin Hanif, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in one of his houses when the verse was revealed, and keep yourself bound to the company of those who call upon their Rabb in the morning and evening, seeking his sustenance. On this revelation, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went out in search of people. He found a group of people who were engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Some of them were uncombed hair, some covered in dry skin, and some covered only in one piece of cloth. On seeing them, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sat down with them and said, "All praise is due to Allah, who gave birth to such people in my ummah, in whose company I have been ordered to sit in their company." Respected elders, that here we must know that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he came out, and the hadith is very clear. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went out in search of such people. That means he went looking for those people. If they were making loud zikr in congregation, how come he never listened to it? Why did he have to search? Because if they were making loud zikr in congregation, in the masjid, every Nabi of Allah is blessed with extraordinary sensory facilities and amenities. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I can write a whole book on this, how his senses were super activated. Similarly is the hadith which people present. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out, he saw two groups of people, then he went to one group of people and he asked them, "What were you doing?" And they used this hadith here and say, "See, this group of Sahaba were making loud zikr in the masjid." Respected elders, that this hadith denotes something. Why he had to ask them what you are doing? If they were making loud zikr, he should have told them, "Oh, you're making loud zikr, so I'll either sit with you." But he preferred to sit with the other group. Why? Because the other group were learning and teaching. And he said that, "Inni mabusun mualliman," I have been sent out as a teacher, as a one who is teaching character, so he will. And I'm one sent to complete the character. He said to them, if they were making loud zikr, why the reason for asking them what you were doing? Respected elders, that we find the action of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu inviting people in his time to collect and gather in the masjid for education, teaching and learning, but not for the purpose of zikr and the remembrance of Allah. Respected elders, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala went into the bazaar of Medina and said to the people, "O people, what has happened to you? that the legacy and inheritance of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being distributed to his followers in the masjid, and you are busy in the bazaar buying and selling. The people thinking that perhaps some items which Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam left behind, if one could obtain such items and articles and keep it as a blessed token or souvenir, he could certainly be blessed. So they rushed to the masjid and saw in the masjid groups of people. Some were engaged in teaching and learning of Quran. Some were busy learning and teaching hadith, and others were busy teaching and learning the laws of halal and haram. They asked, "Oh Abu Huraira, where is the legacy and inheritance of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you were talking about?" He replied, "This, what you see in front of your eyes. The Anbiya alayhi salam do not leave behind dinars and dirhams, but leave behind knowledge as their legacy and inheritance." Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri, Rahmatullah Alayhi, in Barhain-e Qatiya, he writes, "Of course, invitation and publicity for people to gather, to attend gatherings of lectures and academic discourses is proven an established fact of the previous pious predecessors, because they are obligatory, like the performance of 5 daily salah. No invitation was given for, come, let's sit down and make zikr. Come, let's sit down and make zikr loudly in the masjid. No invitation. This calling, specification, advertising, poster, leaflet, over the radio station, over everywhere, inviting people to come and make zikr loudly in the masjid, definitely has reached a level where the common man thinks this is an act of sunnah. Ask any person who's attending these gatherings, they will tell you, yes, this is a sunnah. And what? They will say, this is strange proof. Some are going around and saying, our matter rests with Allah. That is their proof. That is not Sharia proof. Some others are saying, carry on doing this loud zikr in the masjid. I will stand responsible for you on the day of judgment. This, respected elders, and people buy these are sort of arguments. Respected elders, remember, you are educated, you are intelligent, you are the one to make the decisions. We are clearly stating, without mixing words, that zikr done loudly in the masjid, in congregation, and when you regard it to be sunnah, it is an innovation, you should abstain from it. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there are 2 narrations about him ejecting those people from the masjid. It is stated clearly in Hilatul Awliya that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud, that some people sit, was informed that some people sit in group after Maghrib Salah. One of them says, recite so many times Takbir, so many times Tasbih Subhanallah, so many times Alhamdulillah. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud said, do people do this? Yes, said the man. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud told him, when you see them do it again, then come and inform me about their gathering. The informant says, I then came and informed him of these people. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud, who was wearing a hooded cloak at that time, came to these people and sat down. Then when he heard and saw what they were doing, he stood up in anger, because he was a man of high temperament, and said to the people, I am Abdullah bin Masud. I swear on the name of Allah, in the name of the one Allah who has no partner, that you have done 2 things. Either you have invented an extremely dark and evil bidah, or either you have surpassed noble companion Sahaba in knowledge. One of the group said by apology, I swear by Allah, we have done nothing of the 2. Amr bin Utba said, O Abdurrahman, we seek Allah's pardon and forgiveness. Ibn Masud said, advising them, hold on firmly or to the practice of the Sahaba. I swear on the name of Allah, if you continue to do these actions, then you'll be far off from the right tracks. In Mujib al-Kabir of Tabrani, it is mentioned that Abdullah bin Masud said, I seek for repentance before Allah in his pardon. Then Ibn Masud asked the people to disperse. Hayatul Sahaba, volume 2, page 247. Now, respected elders, that was the narration. And another narration, Sunnat-e-Darimi, contains the Fajr Salah. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala, who he was taken by Hazrat Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala, who, and there he told the people, leave. And the commentator, the hadith goes on to say, then Ibn Masud turned away from them and took his position in the masjid. Umar bin Muslima says, many people of these groups later joined the Khawarij and fought against us in the battle of Nahriwan. Respected elders, some murid questioned Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, questioning about the validity of this story and this incident. Hazrat Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, Ramatullah Alayhi, said, yes, that they were ejected because of their method and their congregational method, which was objectable. Respected elders, so Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani also says that this hadith here, this narration of Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is definitely valid. Remember that one time what happened, that Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Maulana Thanvi in his correspondence wrote to Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, who was a senior at that time. He said, the thought comes to mind that with the commission of a makruh act, if the faraz and wajib acts of other Muslims are protected, then there is hope with Allah that Allah will forgive such an act. At any rate, in my opinion, these are acts of less preferable. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi wrote, in actual fact, a good action which is obtained through an unlegislated action itself becomes unlawful. Mufti Abdul Wahid writes in his trustee, it is on this basis that in the Khankas of the elders of Deoband at Gangohi, Thanabao and Raipur, that no gatherings of collective zikr took place, nor was a makruh and a bidah adopted for a temporary short need or experience. And the maslak way of our elders is the most safe and precautionary one, of which experience and observation is sufficient proof. Besides that, there is absolute practice and adherence to sunnah and total avoidance of bidah. Respected elders, some people say that no, there is a hadith, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, lift your hands and say, La ilaha illallah, and we did so. Then Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, addressing Allah, said, O Allah, you sent me this kalima. You sent me this kalima and ordered me to act upon it. And in return, promised me Jannah. Indeed, you do not turn away from your promise. Then the Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said to us, O people, receive the glad tidings that Allah has forgiven all of you. We cannot use this hadith as a proof of performance of loud zikr in a gathering. It is not correct, as Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not ask the people to raise up their hands and recite the kalima as a form of zikr. But he did so the people may give loudly the shahada and testimony to their belief in the kalima. In this way, he made them refreshen their iman and faith in the kalima, and then gave them glad tidings of Jannah for the fresh renewal of their faith. Respected elders, some say that what about the elders? And they quote, our elders did this. And they quote various names. Respected elders and listeners, Deen proof is not based upon emotionalism and sentiments. I will quote from Fatawa Mahmoodia, Volume 15, page 426. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi says clearly, the action of the mashaikh, which is not a shari proof, its adherence is not necessary. Respected elders, that is the bottom line that we should worry about, that the proof is the four sources, not the actions of the mashaikh. Respected elders, this does not mean we do not love and respect the mashaikh. There's another Arabic word which I'd like you to be introduced to. It's called the farudat, exceptions. All these actions of the elders we will term as the farudat, exceptions. And the deen of Islam is not based upon the exceptions. The deen of Islam is based upon the four sources of Sharia. So we should be careful and not say that we are adhering to the Sunnah, meanwhile that we are going to be following, unfortunately, those actions which are not adequately substantiated. Respected elders, how strange it is that few years ago, ulama Haqqani Rabbani were clearly stating loud zikr in the masjid in congregation is bidah, and all the hadiths were quoted against bidah. And strangely enough, that we have begun doing this. That means those who have been doing it, and now all of a sudden they are on the right and we are the followers. So those other, the other group is, has got a 20-year spiritual advancement start, and it is only right that we apologize to them, that we wrongly criticize them. And if we are going to change, then what is the parameters and new definitions of bidah? What are the new paradigms of bidah? Respected elders, what we should worry about is the way forward. Remember that we are not against the tasawwuf. We are not against zikr. We are not against the mashayikh. We are not against the hunters. Especially in South Africa, we are saying, humbly appealing, that we are affluent people, that we should build near the masajids rooms so that we can be, they can classify it as khankas, and then the murids can go there for spiritual upliftment. And remember, this loud zikr is for what? Not for, as Maulana Thanvir Rahmatullah says, gaining proximity, but as a large for spiritual ailment, as a treatment. And who these days regards it as a treatment? Unfortunately, they do not regard it as treatment. Another strange thing is presented. Mufti Sahab, please don't talk about this, because it's not a matter of iman and kufr. How strange is this argument? Because this is a matter of jannat and jahannam. Because don't we know the hadith? Rasul Sallallahu about the day of judgment is going to say to the group, go away, be away. You have invented those things which were not done by us. Then we should not worry about the ghair mukallis, their 20 rakats. We should not worry about the sequence of Hajj, the Rabi Jamarat sequence, etc. Then we should not worry about the 20, 30 masails of ghair mukallis. Then we should not worry about the innovative masails on the same grounds that this is not important, this is not a matter of iman and kufr. Respected elders, we have tried to present and we have elucidated the masala and the true perspective in front of you. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala grants all of us iman, strong iman to practice upon sunnah and to love the sunnah. If in this discourse I have said any strong word against any person, and I'm sure inshallah I have not done any character assassination or anything, nevertheless that we seek forgiveness if we have hurt your feelings. But remember that the masala, the true masala, must prevail. I appreciate you listening, granting me the opportunity, and also appreciate the fact of your support, your tremendous support, which I am actually amazed and surprised of your support, that you honor me as your mufti of the radio station. May Allah Ta'ala reward all of you tremendously and grant us the ability to practice upon the deen of Islam. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.